Please turn with me in your Bibles, if you have them, or on whatever device you're using, to 1 John. We're continuing with our series, Let's Count the Ways. Let's Count the Ways. And we're taking it from Elizabeth Barrett Browning's poem, How Do I Love Thee? What? Let me count the ways. Everybody knows that. And we've been stuck, and it's been a good stuck here in this passage and speaking about let's count the ways from 1 John chapter 4. And I want to continue this morning looking at some things and God helping us today to really sink our teeth into. I think that the Lord orchestrated today's service to say some things to us about his love already, what he wants to do, his great gifts for us that really sink our teeth into this message today and leave here impacted by his word. It says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Where does it come from? Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. Remember, we're saying that love is not a static thing. Love doesn't keep to itself. Love is dynamic. Love is outgoing. Love must express itself. Love must demonstrate itself. God demonstrates his love. And he says, he showed us his love. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. How many of you saw the Billy Graham special that was on? Ooh. Well, you could still see it. You can YouTube it. They may be playing it again on other stations. Fox will probably air it again. You really want to see it. And what an amazing testimony, what an amazing tribute, what an amazing message that came from Billy Graham in his now 95th year. And what an amazing message that he proclaimed in that just one half hour of showing us, demonstrating to us the message of the gospel, the message of the cross, of God's love to us, because that's where it's at. That's where it's at. And this is what he's saying here in 1 John. He says, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. So it isn't that I initiated love to God. Anything that I feel of love in my heart to God, it's because he initiated it. He is the grand initiator. And he has provoked me to love him. Provoke in a good way. He is stirred in my heart by touching my heart with his love to love him. It's not that I love God, but that he loved me. He first loved me, I think the King James Version says, puts it in this verse. And he sent his Son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. And see where it's going here? We ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God shows up. We see him. The way in which we love one another. So God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Just join me in prayer. Father, I pray right now that you'll help us to really pay attention. God, to just come alive, as it were, to shake ourselves mentally, spiritually, physically, and to tune in. Help us to tune in right now to what you want to do in our lives by your Holy Spirit. In Christ's name I pray. All right, I want to look at a couple of other scripture verses, okay? That's our leading verse. I want to look at a couple supporting verses where we want to go today. In Exodus, Old Testament, Exodus chapter 20. A very famous passage of Scripture because it is the beginning of the Ten Commandments. And I want to read and look at the commandment, the first commandment. What did Jesus call the first commandment? Anybody know? What did he call it? He called it the greatest commandment. Or he responded to the question about what is the first or the most important commandment. He said, here it is. This is the greatest. This is the most important commandment. It began here in Exodus chapter 20. Look at verse 3. Here it is, the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. You see it there? No other gods before me. And the commandment continues. He said, as he explains the commandment, he says, you shall not make for yourselves an idol in any form of thing in heaven or above the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. The first commandment. The first commandments. 1 and 2 right there. Shall have no other gods before me. No graven image. I'm a jealous God. See, in that he loves us so much, he's jealous in his love for us. And then let's look at it in Mark's gospel where Jesus answers a question on how, you know, what's the greatest commandment as he's asked, Mark chapter 12. And let's look how Jesus frames it, what we just read there in Exodus. Mark chapter 11, Mark chapter 12, thank you. Numerically dyslexic or tongue twisted today. Mark 12, and looking at verse 28. Mark 12, 28. It says, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Which is the most important? Now, I like the way puts it here, going back to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and capturing the heart of the first commandment. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God. Love him. How? With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Love the Lord your God. I'm convinced. I've counted the ways, and I'm convinced that God loves me. We've been talking about that, and we numbered some 7 of them. From being the object of his affection, to he loves me so much that he doesn't let me get away with anything. He loves me enough to not let me get away with anything. He loves me. I'm convinced of it. I'll never forget the winter of 1972. I wasn't a Christian yet, but soon to be. And there was a pool hall on, the corner of Main Street and, I forget the other street there. It goes this way in Herkimer. Main Street Inn. Anybody know? Oh, man, it's on the tip of my brain. Yeah, one of those. Yeah, and East Main Street. Well, anyways, it was Sheldon's, was it? Sheldon's Pool Hall, or that's the guy who ran it. And I was standing outside the pool hall it was January, perhaps winter day, and out there huddled, wait for the pool hall to open or doing something bad. And his car drove by, and this guy stuck his head out the window. I could see him. He had long hair. We all had long hair in those days. And he stuck his head out the window, and he looked at me as he was driving by and turning the corner on the main street. And he said, hey, man, he says, Jesus loves you. And off, like, whoa, yeah. And, hey man, we used to talk like that, Dad. Hey man. So, hey man. Groovy, man. We used to talk like that, Dad. Man, no, man. Yeah, man. Wow, man. Far out, man. Hey man, Jesus loves you. And God had already started working in my heart before then. It was November of 1971 when he really started working in my heart. Not that he had it before then, but things were coming together to lead me to Calvary, lead me to the cross. And that was part of his plan that day, that someone who knew Jesus, one of the Jesus freaks, driving by, and I later learned they were going to a coffee house around the corner, where they got together as Christians and talked about the Bible and so on and hung out. And Jesus loves you. And it touched my heart. It became one of those stepping stones that God threw out there for me to keep coming, by which he was drawing me, in fact, to himself. And it wasn't long before I came to Christ. And we talk about this. We've been talking about this. Listen, Jesus loves you. He loves you. And I'm convinced of it. And yes, we talk about, and we could even look at, well, the super typhoon that just hit the Philippines and all the people who are there suffering. And I wouldn't pretend to be able to understand all of those dynamics. I understand some of it. But because I know him, because I know God, and his love has touched my heart, even though I see the kind of devastation and suffering in this world, I'm convinced that when it says, for God so loved the world, that he means it. He meant it then and he still means it now. I don't understand it all. And yet, he loves. And it trickles down to you. It trickles down to me. He loves me. Hey, Jesus loves you. I'm convinced of it. Now, there's something infectious about the love of God. There's something infectious about that love, the love bug, if you will. You know, you ever been bitten by the love bug? Right? You've been bitten by the love bug? And I have been. I've been bitten by that love bug. There's something infectious about it. The first and greatest commandment becomes my first and greatest commandment. Because that love has touched my life, I've been bitten by it. There's a want to in my life. It doesn't hang up, you know, as the Ten Commandments with this kind of finger outstretched from it. The Ten Commandments. No. Heavens, no. There's something now that I feel welling up within me. His love has touched my heart. And I realize, wow, I was created for love. I was made out of love for love. I want to love God. I want to love Him. I'll never tire of saying when I was introduced to the love of Jesus and it touched my life, man, I wanted to love everybody. I felt so seriously fulfilled. And I was looking for love in all the wrong places before then. Couldn't find it. But on that day, March 1st, 1972, when Christ touched me, touched my heart, filled me, the thing that came into it was His love. It became infectious. I want to love God. Once bitten, I want to love Him. I want to love God. I find myself wanting to. I feel as though this is what I was made for. It's like no one has to explain it to me. It's just there. Wow, this is what I was made for. This is my destiny. This is why I'm here. What am I here for? I'm here for to love God. I'm here for to obey that first commandment. And I want to. I want to, because His love has touched my heart. So I want to talk about these things. And remember, we talked about a caveat. We talked about a warning that we all have to look at. And if you look at Matthew chapter 24 and verse 12, he talks about days coming, that there's days in the world that will work upon Christians' hearts and try to turn their love cold. That is to say, their love for God cold. He gives the warning, the same warning in the book of Revelation, where Jesus visits churches. In Revelation, the book of the Revelation, verse 3 and 16. And the warning is sounded there not to allow our love, worse than growing cold, become lukewarm. You're half in, you're half out. You're sort of with it type of Christian. You're lukewarm. And we have to be warned that these are very real possibilities that exist for all of us. We mentioned three things that causes a heart to grow cold. There are three things that can turn a heart that was once in love with Jesus, following God, following the ways of God, knowing Him, having become a first-hand person, you know, no one has told you secondhand about it, but no, you've experienced it for yourself. There are things that work against us that can turn us lukewarm. One of them is drift. Drift. We talked about that, drift. Where you start neglecting things that keep your love for Jesus hot. We talked about them as the fundamentals. Drift. We talked about it. I'm not going to get into all of these things, but I need to once again sound the warning because we need to be reminded of them. I need to be reminded of them. The other one was what we called the Demas effect, and some of you may have looked it up from 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, where Demas was follower of Jesus, but then he started liking the world too much. And there's something about liking the world too much that will cause your love to cool down and take you away from God. And then we looked at Mark, the parable of the sower. There are thorns. Normal things in life are mentioned there that choke the very life out of us, our life for God. We have to hear this warning. This is very possible. These things can happen to us. It's like you ever watch a fire. And it's amazing to me that, you know, fire is going. You can wad up a piece of paper and you can put it in there. Close, but not right in the fire, and it won't ignite. You try it sometime. You could take a log, and you know some of it falls off, and it just misses the heat of the flame, and that piece of wood before long becomes cold. And we have to let those things sink in and be warned that our love for God not grow cold. And this is what we want to talk about in these next couple of weeks as we began last week. Okay, we saw how it was that God loves me. How does God love me? Let's count the ways. And now we're talking about, hey, how do I love God? How do I love God? How do I love Him? How do I love Him back? How do I return back to Him the favor shown to me in Calvary? How is it that I love Him back? It's the flip side of the same coin of God's love. And we mentioned three ways that we're going to be looking at. I call them the three biggies of how it is that I love God in return for the love that He has touched me with in my life. I love Him in my worship of Him. I love Him by trusting Him. And I love Him by sacrifice. Those are three biggies. What are they? Sure. Come on. What are they? You're with me. What are they? That's it. Oh boy. What time is it? I'm going home. Worship! Work, trust, and sacrifice. Come on. And so these are, as I said, the three biggies. we're going for. And today, the first one, I want to look at worship. 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 And how do we love God? We love God by undivided worship. We love God by giving Him our undivided attention. Exactly. That's how we love God. Worship. I want to talk about it. You with me? I want to talk about worship for a little while. Here's the thing. I was made to love God. We've been looking at that. I was made to love God. So why am I here? What did God make me for? What's creation all about? What's my life all about right now? And all the circumstances of my life, the place of my life, who I'm with, who I relate to, all this stuff. What's it about? What's it about is that you would know the love of God and love Him. That's what it's about. Very simple. And understanding that, that I was made to love God, it is the same thing as saying I was made to worship Him. It's the same thing as saying that. It's interesting how we look at in the Old Testament, and He talks about it from having, you know, that you're exclusive in your worship of God. Have no other gods before me. We understand that. When you come to the New Testament, He calls it loving God. And you see this very clearly in the temptation of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 4 and in Luke chapter 4. When Satan, when the devil comes to Jesus to tempt Him, and he presents himself to Jesus, and he says to Jesus, listen, he says, look at all of this earth in its magnificence. He says, if you but bow down and worship me, he said, I'll give this to you. And Jesus says to him what? He says, it is written, you shall what? Worship God only. It is written, you shall worship God only. Jesus encapsulates the first and greatest commandment, to have no other gods before me. To love only God. He has the exclusive rights to your heart and to mine. He does. God does. And it's called worship. It's called worship. Undivided worship. And so, let me say a couple things about that, worship. The first is this. We love God when we worship Him with an undivided heart. Okay? So how do I love God? How is it that I love Him? How do I demonstrate my love to Him? How do I know I'm feeling it in my love for God? When you worship Him with an undivided heart. Are we going to talk about this for a minute? Because there's competition at times, and my heart is divided. You know? This is the way we need to look at it. Let me just frame it like this. Watch now, because this has a double meaning. When I love Him like I love no one else or nothing else. That's loving Him with an undivided heart. Okay? I'll say it again. When I love Him like I love no one else or nothing else, I'm worshiping Him with an undivided heart. The trouble comes when I love Him less than I love someone else or something else. That's when the trouble comes. You say, well, I love Him. I love that thing. I love those things more than I love God. I think there's some truth to that. Absolutely, there is. But I think the problem is we love God less than we love those things. Here's the deal. Let's just look at it with, you know, husbands and wives. Let's take our spouses. I'm, in fact, commanded, right, as a husband to what? To love my wife. Absolutely. You see, and so there are things that there are people, spouses, that absolutely have a right to my heart. But the problem comes not that I love my wife. The problem is when I love my wife more than I love God. Ah. Or let's go all the way to the other side here. And let's take something like, well, I like good food. Or I don't care what kind of food it is, as long as it's a lot of food. All right. Look. And you can put anything in that place. That when we love those things, that thing, more than we love God, then our hearts are divided. Our hearts are divided. Nothing wrong with enjoying and loving food. Nothing wrong with enjoying and loving our spouses. And whatever it is that you want to put in there. You know, let's take, this is one of my pet peeves, especially in these days, because it's taken the world by force and it's overcoming us, and that's sports. And I'm not here to harp on sports. Can we love sports? And yes!
Yeah.
But when there is a love for sports more than a love for God, what's happened? My heart has become divided. And in fact, when you have a divided heart, guess what you have in between you and God? Another God. Perfect. Exactly. Another God. See? So important. I was talking to a young man not too long ago about his relationship with a young lady that he loves, and helping him to see that, boy, you know, you gotta see her in her proper place to your love for God versus your love for her. This was hard for me when I first met Sandra. I probably broke up with her 1,500 times because I just couldn't get it right. You know, how do I love her and love God too? How do I get it right? I drove her crazy. Sorry, I got to break up with you because I got to love God. And then, you know, I'm away from her for about 3 hours, and it's like I'm going bonkers. I love her so much. What's going on? My life is all falling apart. I love her so much. And it's like, Sandra, I really do love you. And she would take me back. But what was going on? I think what was going on was getting her in the right place. People can love their careers, their jobs, what they do. And that can become something that they fall in love with more than their love for God. And then it becomes an idol in their lives. Money. You can put so many things there that God has the exclusive rights to my heart, to where it is I worship Him when I love Him. Like I love no one, no thing else. Wow. Worship. It's all about worship. The next one about worship that I want to say is this. We love God. They all begin with we love God. We love God when we worship. They all begin we love God when we worship. We love God when we worship Him by the way we live. This is major as well. By the way we live. That is to say, when I act like it. When I act like it. And we have to see how big and how large this whole thing of worship is. So that it touches every aspect of who I am, of my life, so that it is a part of me, worship is. So that whatever I do, I am worshiping God. You've heard me say before, When you're at work, you're worshiping God. Or at least your work ought to be. Worship is unto God. Just as valid, just as valuable, just as powerful, just as encouraging, as inspiring, at least it ought to be, as any other kind of worship that you would give to God. Your work. He meant it to be worship. When I'm driving the car, I'm worshiping God. And someone is anxious and they drive by and they beep the horn and it's not to say hi. I have to remind myself, I'm worshiping God, I'm worshiping God. But to act like it, that all of my lifestyle, whether I'm doing the dishes, mowing the lawn, raising my kids, raising our kids, the way in which we treat people and the relationships we have, God looks at it as worship. It's worship as being directed to Him. Wow. See, we worship God when we love God when we worship Him by the way we live, when we act like it. And the last one is, we love God when we worship Him in church. It's big. Church is big. We worship Him when we come here to this place, and we refer to this place as a place of worship. This is a place of worship. And yes, we've talked about this in the past, that we are people who emphasize we are the church, people are the church, absolutely. Well, we're coming together as the church in this place. And this is a place of worship where we worship God together. And there are things that happen by design, by divine design, when we come together as the church in worship that cannot happen when we're not together. There's something very special, very distinctive, very peculiar, unique to our worship when we come together to worship God. And when you say, how do I love God? Go to church. How do I love God? Be faithful to your church. Now, for the most part, I'm preaching to the choir. Everybody's here today. But we really got to get this in us. We have to see that it's a part of my love for God that I'm expressing and that I'm faithful to my church. We are loving Him. How do I love God? I love Him when I don't have any competitors. Now listen, this doesn't just happen by saying, okay, I'm going to have no competitors. Oh no. It happens when you're faced with a competitor and you work through it to love God more than that thing or that person. And sometimes that comes with great agony. And the same for each one of these, the way in which we live. Loving God by worshiping Him in church. That we have come here to this place to worship Him, and we have a worship team and we are those who believe and practice and know the truth of Scripture, that the worship team is here not as those who are participating in worship for us, but they are participating in worship to lead us with them in worship. Right? So that We believe that as a worship team and we as worshipers, because that's what we are, worshipers. First and foremost, we are worshipers. We are lovers of God, which means we are worshipers. All of us at heart are worshipers. You cannot live, you will not live without worshiping someone or something. May that thing, may that person be God. But that's just who we are. And when we come together in this place, there is an avenue that we go down, that the Lord has provided by the way in which we sing, by the way in which we minister to one another, and do what we did, led by the Holy Spirit for our children this morning, and praying for each other, encouraging one another, admonishing one another, the releasing of the gifts of the Spirit. When I lift my voice, I lift my hands, I engage and let the Holy Spirit work through me to sing praises to God. That's worship. And when we do that, guess what? You know what we're saying? I love you, Lord. Oh, I love you, Lord. Oh, I love you, Lord. And we go through those different kinds of praises that the psalmist talks about. Bowing down, clapping, dancing, singing and making melody in our hearts. And when we do that, we are worshiping God. And by that, we are saying, God, I'm a worshiper of you. God, I'm fulfilling my birthright. This is who I am. And you are never more than who you are than when you're worshiping God. Never. You are who you are when you're worshiping God. And it happens when we come together in this place. And there's something so powerful that's released in worship. His presence comes when we worship. And God manifests Himself among us when we worship Him, because He cannot receive our love without it affecting Him and reciprocating it back. It's impossible. It's like your son or your daughter giving you a big hug. Oh, I love you, Daddy. I love you, Mommy. And what do? You know, just cold there, you know, brush them off. Even if they were bad. I'm telling you, when they're bad, you know, and they come up like that to love on you, it's like, okay. And you're smothered in love. And I'm telling you, God is the same way. More so. That as we express our love, our adoration to Him, because His love has touched our heart, He says, oh, man, look at that. There's my boy, Bob. Look at the way He's loving on me right now. And God gets all, you know, all funny kind of, because that's what how love makes you feel. All just kind of, ooh, man. And He just, I'm just going to bless Him. I'm just going to bless Him right now. Because of the way in which He's expressing His love for me. And He blesses me. So, wow. This is awesome. This is awesome. And this is how it works. This is how it ought to work here in church. And so we love God when we worship Him in church. Church is important. Did I say that already? I didn't look at any kind of statistics at what church attendance is like these days in America. I know the last thing I heard that it's declining. And all of this kind of stuff, and I need to go out in the woods today, being the Lord's Day, and I know I should go to church, but I can go to church out in the woods, you know, and there God is, and all this kinds of stuff. Wrong. God didn't declare the woods to be a sanctuary. He declared the coming together of His people to be a sanctuary. Wonderful. Have a nice day out in the woods. Absolutely. Is God there? Will God meet you there? Absolutely. Just don't call it your church. God has to so help us with these things. That's all I want to say in that kind of way. I hope I didn't have my mean face on. Did I have my mean face on? No. Not my mean face. When we love God, We love God when we worship Him with an undivided heart. Oh man, I'll tell you. There's nothing more freeing as with the songs that we sang this morning. There's nothing more freeing when we have this sense about us. As far as I know right now, I'm loving Him with all of my heart. You understand that statement that I just made? Because I'm telling you right now, my heart's divided. My heart's divided. As far as I know right now, Lord, I'm loving you with all my heart. Until He begins to pick away, you know. Until somebody rear-ends me. In my car that I was just worshiping with a second coat of wax. Just got dented. Ouch. Oh, man. We love God when we worship Him by the way we live. How we act. How we act with other people. This church thing. And just let me finish by saying, let's stand together in His presence. It's time to quit. Let me just say that as we pray, to say to you, worship is a love move. Worship, and this is what we see in the Scripture. Worship is a love move. To worship God, what's it about? He makes me understand about loving God. So we're going to continue to talk about this trust and sacrifice. It's only going to get better. Sacrifice, oh man. And so I submit this word to you guys today, okay? Worship God. Father, in Jesus' name, all the things that have been said today, the words spoken, that you by your Holy Spirit would touch each one of our hearts. My heart, Lord, you see my heart. That we might be the kind of lovers of God, worshipers of God, that you have paid such a high price for. In Christ's name, I pray your blessing upon each of us. Amen.